Brachos Daf Samech. So the Mishnah had said that you make a Shechianu on your new house, on a new house and new clothes. Rav Huna says, this is only when you haven't inherited clothes like these. If you already have inherited clothes and you went and bought new ones, you would not say a Shechianu. Rav Yochanan says, even if you inherited clothes like these and you went and bought new ones, you would still have to say a Shechianu. So they both agree that if you bought clothes like this, like you have already, meaning you bought like a certain shirt, and then you bought a shirt just like it, both agree that you would not have to say a Shechianu in that case. There are those that teach this a little differently, that Rav Huna says, you only say a Shechianu if you didn't already buy similar clothes. So the only time you wouldn't say a Shechianu is if you didn't buy clothes just like that. But Rav Yochanan says, even in that case, you would still say a Shechianu, meaning anytime you have something new, you would say a Shechianu. But they both agree that if you got clothing through an inheritance and then you bought something similar to that, you would still say a Shechianu. Both of them agree to that. So we bring in a brisa to try to pose a problem that Rav Meir says, if you got a house or a clothes through inheritance, and then you bought a house or a clothes similar to that, you would not say a Shechianu. Rav Yehuda says you do make a Shechianu. So according to the first version we quoted of Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan, so Rav Huna lines up perfectly with Rav Meir that you don't make a Shechianu when you already inherited something similar. Rav Yochanan and Rav Yehuda line up perfectly that you do make a Shechianu when you already inherited something similar and you went out and bought something new. But according to the second version, so Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda do line up that you don't make a Shechianu when you already bought something similar to this. However, who does Rav Yochanan hold like? Rav Yochanan says in the second version that you have to make a Shechianu on anything new. But neither Rav Meir or Rav Yehuda hold like that. So who's Rav Yochanan going like? So we answer that Rav Yochanan is really going like Rav Yehuda. And Rav Yehuda would even agree that you make a Shechianu when you're buying something, even if you've bought something similar to that, you would still make a Shechianu. Meaning, Rav Yehuda would agree anything new requires a Shechianu. And the reason the Braisa says that they argue by something that you inherited and then you bought something similar and not on anything new is because they want to show Rav Meir's opinion that even when you inherited something and bought something new, Rav Meir would not require a Shechianu. So all the more so, you wouldn't have to make a Shechianu if you bought something similar to something you already bought. Meaning, according to Rav Meir, it has to be something completely new. But why don't we say the Machlokas as a case where you bought something similar to what you already bought? And that's teaching Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that you are required to make a Shechianu whenever you get something new. Meaning, why are we teaching the Braisa to show Rav Meir's opinion? Why don't we show it as Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that you're always required to make a Shechianu? And we answer that it's better to teach where Rav Meir allows you not to say Shechianu over Rabbi Yehuda, who's much stricter and requires you to say a Shechianu on everything. So the Mishnah had said that you say a Baruch Dayanavis on the bad if it has the potential to be good. And what's a case where something is bad and has the potential to be good? That's like a flood, which is bad now. However, it will be better after because the flood is going to cause all the sediment to be brought up. And even though it will be good in the future, you still say a Baruch Dayanavis because now the flood is bad. And what's a case where the Mishnah had said you say Atova Ametiv on something that's good that has the potential for bad? What's that case? That's where if you found something money, which is good, you found money, which is good now. However, the king might suspect you that you didn't return everything you got, and then he'll imprison you, he'll fine you, things like that. And therefore, even though it's good now, it could be bad later. But nonetheless, you would say Atova Ametiv. So we said that a Tvila Shav in the Mishnah is where you daven for the gender of the baby. The Gemara explains that's because the Tvila won't help at all. It's already been determined. However, if Yosef says that Leah davened and was able to change the gender of her baby to be a girl, why? Because she realized that she's already had, that she'd have 7 shvatim. If this child was going to be a boy, then she would have 7 out of the 12 shvatim. And Bilhah and Zilpah, the 2 maidservants, already had 2 each. And that would equal a total of 11, leaving Rachel to only have 1. She wouldn't even have the same as the maidservants. So she davened that instead of having a 7th boy, she would have a girl, and therefore be left with 6 shvatim, giving Rachel 2 boy shvatim. And we see from here that she was able to change the gender. However, we bring 2 answers. One is that we can't bring a proof of a miracle. The other is that this was within the first 40 days before the gender of the baby is decided. And we have a braisa that says after 3 days, within the first 3 days, you daven that the egg is fertilized. Between 3 and 40 days, you could daven for the gender. Between 40 days and 3 months, You daven that no other embryo will be conceived and push and crush the first embryo, the first fetus, within 3 months to 6 months. You daven that there be no miscarriage. And between 6 months and 9 months, you daven that the baby comes out well and everything's good. So clearly we see from here that within 40 days, you can daven for the gender. However, Rav Yitzchak Reder of Ami says that if the man sows first, then he'll have a girl. If the wife sows first, then they'll have a boy. So it's clearly not dependent on tefillah. Your tefillah doesn't matter. So we answer that, when is tefillah in the first 30 days, 40 days helpful? When they both sowed at the same time. So once they heard, so we talked about in the Mishnah that if you hear screaming from the city, then, and you daven that that shouldn't be your family, that's a tefillah shav because the person's already been injured or whatever happened. So Hillel HaZaken once heard screaming in the city, and he knew that it wasn't his family because his family wouldn't accept struggles like that. They wouldn't be screaming out. They know that it all came from Hashem. Rava says, the pasuk for this, you can either read it forwards to backwards or backwards to forwards. The pasuk says, of evil tidings, you should have no fear. Why? Because you're confident in Hashem. Or you could read it as, you're confident in Hashem. So if evil tidings come, you have no fear. And that's basically the pasuk that proves that you should not be afraid when you have trials and tribulations. Rav Shmuel Bar of Yossi saw his student was scared in the market of Tzion. And since he was scared, he said, you're a sinner. Because the pasuk says, sinners are afraid in Tzion. However, the student replied, but the pasuk says that it's praiseworthy if you're always scared. And Rav Yishmael Rav Yossi answered that that's only fear of forgetting Torah. You should always be scared of forgetting your Torah. Rav Amnuna once scolded Yehuda Bar Nassan for being scared, but Yehuda Bar Nassan says, but the pasuk says you should be scared. And Rav Amnuna answered that you should be scared about forgetting your Torah. The Mishnah talked about going into a dangerous city. You should say two tefillos upon entering and one tefillah upon entering, one upon leaving. But Azai says four total, two upon entering and four and two upon leaving. Abraisa details what these four tefillos are according to Ben Azai. That the two you say upon entering and the two you say upon leaving. Rav Masna says that you only say these in a city where they execute people without judging them, meaning that it's really dangerous. But there are those that say that even in a city where they judge people first and only then execute them, you should still say these tefillos because maybe there will be no one there to prove your innocence and you do need to daven. Abraisa details the Yehi Ratzon that you say upon entering a public bathhouse to ask for safety. However, Abaye doesn't like this because in the Yehi Ratzon you talk about the potential disaster that could threaten you in this dangerous situation. And Abaye says when you're davening to Hashem, you shouldn't talk about this dangerous situation that could come about, because we go like Reish Lakish, that you shouldn't give the Satan an opening, meaning you shouldn't start talking about these potential calamities and then the Satan will go to Hashem and be like, oh look, he's talking about these potential dangers. Go give it to him. So Rav Acha says the bracha that you say upon leaving the bathhouse. Rabbi Abahu was once in the bathhouse and the floor collapsed and he fell on a pillar and was able to save 100 people. They kind of all locked arms together and formed like this long like chain and they were able to save it. It was this whole miracle. And this is actually the danger that Rav Acha was talking about, that one should say and thank Hashem for that you didn't experience while you were in the bathhouse. There, the Gemara quotes the Yehi Ratzon, you say I'm bloodletting, but Abaye again doesn't like this because in the Yehi Ratzon you talk about how it's not man's place to be serving as doctors and trying to bring about healing, but we do it anyway. But Abaye says that's not true because God does want us to be engaging in healing and in medical treatment, because Abraisa quotes Rabbi Yishmael, who says, what's the pasuk of virape yirape? That it's basically teaching that doctors are allowed to practice and to heal people. And Rav Acha quotes the bracha that you say after you have finished letting blood. So when you go to the bathroom, you say it's special tefillah that the accompanying angels should leave and then they should come back when you're done going to the bathroom. However, Abaye says, no, don't tell the angels to leave. You should rather just beg them to wait for you because, you know, maybe they won't come back. And then when you're done, you say an Asher Yatzar when you leave. Rav would end the Asher Yatzar with Rofei Cholim. However, Shmuel says, well, why would you say Rofei Cholim? Heal all of our sick. Not everyone's sick. Rather, you should end it with Rofei Chobasar. Heal everyone. Rav Shesha says that you should end it with Umafli La'asot. And Rav Papa says, therefore, we end it with both Rofei Chobasar Umafli La'asot. And we go through, the Gemara goes through Shema Alamita. Before the Shema, you say before you go to sleep, you say Shema and Vahaya. And then you say the Bracha of Hamapil and especially Yiratzon. When you wake up, you say Elokai Neshama. It goes through the Birchos HaShachar. When you hear a rooster, you say Asher Nasan Lech Sech Vivina. When you open your eyes, you say Bokeach Ivrim. When you sit up, you say Matir Asurim. When you get dressed, you say Malbish Arumim. When you stand up, you say Zokev Kefufim. When you stand on the floor, you say, when your feet touch the floor, you say Rokah Haaretz Alamayim. When you walk, you say Hamechin Mitzadeh Gaver. When you put on your shoes, you say Sha'asa li kol tzarki. When you put on your belt, you say Ozeri sal bigvura. When you put your hat or your head covering on, you say Oteri sal bitifara. When you put tzitzit on, you say Asher kishnam zatav etzivanu li tatev bat tzitzit. When you put your tefillin of the arm on, you say Asher kishnam zatav etzivanu laniach tefillin. Your tefillin of your head, you say Amitzas tefillin. When you wash your hands, you say Antilas yadayim. When you wash your face, you say the bracha of Hamavir, Chavle Sheina Me'enai, Ustama Me'afapai, and then you also include the Hiratzon, Milfanecha, Tagilena Bezorasach, Vedabakina Bezotacha, and you conclude that with Bracha Hashem, Gomach Hasidim Tovim Lamoisra. The Mishnah says that you have to bless Hashem on the bad just like you have to bless Hashem on the good. So this can't mean that on the bad you say Atov Ametiv, because the Mishnah already taught that on things that are bad you say Ruch Dayanemes. So what does it mean that you bless Hashem on the bad just like on the good? Rava answers that you should accept your misfortunes with joy just like you would accept good and positive things with joy. I bring in various psukim which support this idea, and Rabbi Akiva says that a person should always accustom himself to say, whatever Hashem does is for the best. There was once a story when Rabbi Akiva was traveling to a city, and there was nowhere for him to stay, so he had to sleep in the field. But he said, oh, whatever Hashem does is for the best. Then he was sleeping in the field, and a wind blew out his candle, a cat ate his rooster, and a lion ate his donkey. But he nonetheless said, whatever Hashem does is for the best. That night, there was an army that actually captured the city, and Rabbi Akiva said, oh, look at that, it was for the best, because if I had my candle still burnt, if I was in the city, or if I had my candle still burning, or if my rooster or donkey were making noise, this army would have found me and killed me or captured me. So clearly, everything Hashem does is for the best. Shkayach.